Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody ever told you. I just want to let you know that you're beautiful. Never.
Hello, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today's topic is a variety show, a little bit of everything. Government, criminal justice system. I'm going to start talking about something I learned from YouTube. YouTube.com. Black Day. There's a Black Day, Black Day, in Silicon Valley. Now, I believe this should be everywhere in the United States of America. Honestly, such things as trauma, police killings and beatings, the probation system, 10 years that meals received. That's a whole variety. I think it should be like a 6-day, a Black Day. I don't know how many of you will agree with me or consider me a dreamer, but it started in Silicon Valley. There's a company there. It does have a Black Day. It's just like 6 days of a Black Day. And this day is which Black employees to take time off from their jobs. And once again, I'll say this again, I believe there should be a national Black Day called Black America. My reasons are from American police killing, illegal arrests, perhaps within their own family. Mental anguish from torture and abuse just for existing in America. Just for being Black in America, there should be a Black Day. You know, I'm not saying I won't believe this country, but I believe that 6 days, Black days, vacation days, there should be Black Days here in the United States of America, right here in America. Some of you may call me a dreamer, but I did learn it from Silicon Valley in the state of California. So maybe I am too much of a dreamer. All right. I'd like to talk about why Blacks in America should not pay tax. Call me a dreamer. That's okay, too. I have pretty much speech here on this show. Why Blacks in America should not pay tax. For one thing, there was over 400 years of slavery. 400 years of free slavery. Where Black people even built the White House that was vacated almost 2 years ago by the two-time president and the first Black president, President Barack Obama, and First Lady, Ms. Michelle Obama, who are not there anymore. I said the reasons are slavery, segregation, where Black people paid the same prices as white people for groceries, water, sewage, electricity, and they paid the same prices at restaurants, movie theaters, or white-owned business. And they also had to enter through the back door of restaurants. So I'm saying Black Americans is paid in full. The 12% that was talked about and the statistics on the since 2010 says that Black Americans are 12% of the American population. I believe that. And I believe also that Black Americans paid in full that should not have to pay taxes for those reasons and those and many more reasons. Also, I would like to talk about criminal justice system. It's not going to be a real long show. Some of this is my opinion. Some of this is, most of it is fact, though. In a fair society and an equal society, this is the way it should be. I'd like to talk about the mandatory minimum guidelines and the law here in the United States of America. All right. First of all, the mandatory minimum sentence, in my opinion, to me, is an okay that's made as a one-size-fits-all law, rule, guideline. All cases, each case is different, especially with drugs. I truly believe that the war on drugs is a war on black people, and that is the cause of the high incarceration rate here in America for black men and women. And white suits, right? Any other race. The mandatory minimum sentence is unfair, not just to black people, but to all people. It's really an unfair law. And as Reverend Gant has pointed out, Pastor Greer has pointed out to me, who's in Chicago, and the other gentleman, Pastor Gant, is in Georgia. It's an unfair law. It's a war, and I believe the war on drugs is a war on black people. Okay. And this, you know, a one-size-fits-all law, because each case is supposed to be judged differently. Each person is different, so each case and situation is going to be different. But each case should be judged as an individual case, especially when it comes to drug crimes. So some of the crimes are nonviolent. No one's murdered. It's not like everybody, people talk about black crime. I have too. But everybody's not doing that, so it's an unfair law. It's not an equal law. There's no fairness or justice on this. And, you know, so it's no fairness to this law. Okay. All right, the people that are called criminals, okay, they do know what punishment they'll get if they commit a crime, okay? But, and you know, but the judge has no discretion. The judges in the courtroom have no discretion. The third time to give the life sentence plus 20 years, that's the law. That's the American law. That's for everyone that gets involved in a judge. A drug crime. But another thing, it doesn't even allow juries. It doesn't even tell juries. Most of the defense laws, I suppose if the defense lawyers were able to tell the juries about jury nullification, but they're not told. And, I know it seems like, you know, when politicians get reelected, it's because they're tough on crime. Bad part. Mandatory sentences disproportionately punish minorities. Black and brown people are black people in America. And if you look at opioids, epidemic, as they are calling it. I did a show, The City of Every, about the opioid crisis and how their lawsuit was unique, because there have been other lawsuits filed about opioids, but addiction. Alleged addiction. Some have been one, some haven't. Back in the 1980s, when I was coming of age, becoming a teenager, growing up and things, I do not recall crack addicts receiving the same when President Reagan, but he put on TV shows, small men and women, malnourished, tiny, you know. And when I looked at those commercials, and they showed me these in school, and they said, "This is your mind on drugs," and they scrambled their eggs. Okay, Miss Reagan did that. That was part of her push for the war on drugs and President Reagan. Well, what I saw in my neighborhood that on commercials, well, sick people who need help, not severe punishment. They needed rehabilitation, just like those during the opioid crisis. That the government didn't bring lawsuits, and presidents didn't really speak out about this, about how addicted they were, or how they needed therapy, mental therapy, and drug addiction therapy to not be addicted. Matter of fact, they didn't put as much money in that. But now here in Florida, the state that I live in and that I am a resident of, they are the sheriffs in Florida are filing lawsuits against what they call it in my local newspaper, Big Pharma. Such brands as OxyContin and different ones like that, mostly OxyContin, but there are others that are being sued for being highly addictive. The show I did about a year and a half ago, or a year ago, was Everett, Washington. You see, maybe Everett, Maryland. There, they are suing the company that manufactures OxyContin for knowing. They said they allegedly. That is what they said, that they knew it was being sold on the black market and they did nothing to stop it, and that they knew it was highly addictive. I was talking to a relative, and she said, that reminds me of cigarettes, what the pharmaceutical companies are doing. She said, that reminds me of cigarettes a whole lot, where a lot of people ended up with cancer. So, also, the mandatory sentencing, once again, as I've already said, disproportionately punishes minorities. Most of us know that. It's like the punishment, crack cocaine over cocaine. It's a 100-to-1 ratio. Crack, 100. Cocaine, 1. This means the possession of the same amount of actual cocaine got you 100 times the punishment if it was converted back. Does that make any sense to anyone? And most people still believe and still know that because coke is predominantly a Caucasian drug, which there are 73, almost 74% of Caucasians, of white people here in America as of the 2010 census. It's mostly a white drug, and crack is the cheaper cocaine, and it is considered mostly a black drug, and has been proven to be mostly a black drug. Now, this is not all bad news. What I'm saying is it's wrong. It's a law that is wrong. The law is completely wrong. It's unfair. It's unjust. Especially to minorities. Mexicans, black and brown people, is the term is being used. I'm just going to say, mandatory is a tough on crime argument. pushed by politicians and prosecutors. And I really don't believe it should be a valid reason to interfere in the judicial process. They're saying that they don't have a valid reason to interfere in the judicial judicial process. Politicians are saying that pandering the crowd should not be a valid reason to interfere in the judicial process to get reelected to be tough on crime. That's still blatant discrimination. It's still an unfair law. And it's going to, as long as it stays around, it's going to be an unfair law because it still has that one size fits all. And each case should be judged individually on each person, you know, it's just a law that is unfair to just about everyone, but especially minorities. So there's no fairness in this, and there's no justice in this law. As Reverend Al Sharpton has pointed out on MSNBC, the guidelines should be the same for crack cocaine and cocaine. Because the ratio is 100 black people abused, I guess, per 100,000 and one per 100,000 is busted of the Caucasian, or white population. And that's not fair. It's not fair, it's unequal, it's unjust. And that was pointed out by Reverend Al Sharpton, just like it was pointed out about Meek Mills, the hip-hop artist, rapper, who JC talked about on MSNBC, and the lady Miss Joy, I don't know her last name, she's an anchor. And they were talking about that. So to me, it's all wrong, and I know it's wrong. I know it's unjust, it's unfair, and it's unequal. And that's just all. That's just fact. Let's see. I have some other things. I'd like to talk about the jury, CHOOSE, the criminal justice system. You CHOOSE to have a jury trial or a trial by jury. A judge only. When you decide to plead not guilty, you are supposed to be judged by a jury of your peers. That doesn't happen. That's not happening. You're not, black people are not judged by a jury of the peers. Black people in the United States of America, usually lots of times, especially in the South, do not even have one black person on the jury. Sometimes they may not want a black person. I don't know. Maybe they feel like they get a better jury with white people. So I don't know. But I do not believe that when you are a black American in America, that you can receive a fair jury trial by your peers, because there are no black, if there are no blacks on it, that to me that is not a jury by your peers. But once again, black people are 12%. So, you know, it's just something that should be changed. You know, and it doesn't make any sense, you know, but, you know, some people call it bullying. Some people call it good bullying. Some call it discrimination. I call it all of the above, murder, racism, whatever you want to call it. That's my word, so. So, that's that. So, the 2020 census will be coming about again. I don't know how many of you intend to work for the census, but it will be coming about again. I don't know what the new laws or rules are on that. But I wish you all the best with it. So, we're 12% of the American population. African Americans, African Americans, but we make up 35% of jail inmates and 37% of prison inmates. Of the 2.2 million male inmates. Now, this was in 2014. This is according to Department of Justice 2014. This is going back to the 2006 data, saying that there's a wide racial and beyond disproportionate incarcerated population in each state. The proportion of blacks in prison exceeds the proportion among state residents in 20 states. And this is from the U.S. Department of Justice 2014. So this is before, this is beyond 2010. And the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, says the African Americans the NAACP, this is where I'm getting my information, the Department of Justice, U.S. Department of Justice, African Americans constitute nearly 2.3 million, the total 6.8 million incarcerated populations. So, a little more will be asked. And have nearly six times the incarceration of whites. And then a 2013 study confirmed that black men were much more likely to be arrested and incarcerated than white men. And that is just disparity disappeared after accounting for self-reported violence. But women are sent to prison too. That's what people are overlooking. Women are killed. As Naomi Smith pointed out, I think she's 11, 12 years old. And I saw her on Facebook in a video. And the little girl, Naomi Smith, she said something that made a lot of sense. You don't have to be a certain age to know when something is wrong and want to try and do something about it. All right. In 2010, white non-Hispanic, I was 64. That's not true. That's 70. It's now 73.4%. It's now, 73%. 73% now. It's not, it's no longer in 2010, it was 64%. But now, it's at 73% of the population for white, non-Hispanic. And the women that are in prison, it's horrible. It's really horrible. It's horrible the way women are going to prison. You know why? A lot of it is because they have killed their husbands because of domestic violence or their significant other, some boyfriend, things like that. They have killed them or they have harmed them. It's called bodily injury. But what I'm saying is, basically, women are in prison too, and another part of it, large part of it, is the mandatory minimum sentencing guidelines and laws here in America. Women are going, black women in particular, and white, and Mexican, and every other race, but especially black, are going, blacks are still, black women are sent to prison at 2 times the rate percentage of Caucasian white women. But I like to say this, no one wants to be in prison. No one does. And the reason, the other reason they're going to prison is because of the mandatory medicine sentence law guidelines. I've said it twice. Because of the drug laws. The laws on drugs. And the mandatory minimum sentence is one of them that's horrible. It's horrible. It's just horrible. Men, black men and women are, we only make up 12% according to the 2010 sentence. I don't believe the change in statistics, but I'm not likely to believe too much of a change in the 2010 statistics from the in 2020 statistics when they come out. I'm not likely to believe that because of the killing, the poor medical care in this country for Black Americans. I'm depressed, Donna. I'm not depressed. If I am, then there's a whole lot of Black people that's depressed. Like my relative said, I don't believe there's any Black person living in the United States, in America, that doesn't have depression. That's her opinion. But I'm not depressed. I'm just pointing out statistics and facts. So a lot of women are in prison. Just black women are in prison just like the Black man because of mandatory medical citizen laws and the failed war on drugs. It failed. That's a failed war. The war failed on drugs. So, blacks, let's say, in these states, it's showing the BusinessInsider.com is showing that in, let's see, what year do they have now? It was written on June 16, 2016 by Carolyn Simon. Now, this is no longer Department of Justice website on NAACP website. This is from the Citizen Project, and the writer was once again Carolyn Smith, daughter.com. She's saying that in 2016, in state prisons, African Americans are incarcerated 5.1 times the rates of life. She's also saying that there are five states that have a disparity of more than 10 to 1. She's saying these states are Iowa, Minnesota, New Jersey, Vermont, and Wisconsin. She's saying they have a disparity of more than 10 to 1. This is also using data, Bureau of Justice Statistics and the Citizen Project. Right. And there are 12 states have prison populations that are more than half Black. That is Alabama, Delaware, Georgia, Illinois, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Mississippi, New Jersey, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. She's also writing, according to the statistics from the Bureau of Justice and the Citizen Project and from the BusinessInsider.com, is that Maryland has a prison population that's 72% Black. She's also saying in 11 states, at least 1 in 20 adult African-American men are in prison. And Oklahoma is 1 in 15. It says Latinos are incarcerated 1.4 times the rate of whites. She goes on to the disparities between imprisonment rates for Hispanics and whites are particularly high in Massachusetts, which is 4-3-1. Massachusetts, Connecticut, 391, Pennsylvania, 331, and New York, 311. So those are the percentages for blacks, whites, and Hispanics. So, and she's saying the same thing, the harm sentence for drug-related crimes is portion of that African American, implicit racial biases that affect judges, and structural disadvantages that affect African Americans before they enter the criminal justice system. Now, that's nothing new. That's nothing new. We all pretty much know that. That's not new to me anyway. That's not anything different. Racism, racial biases. Just, the media tries to portray everything as fair and just, and that the current president is an oddity. That's what he said to Kaepernick. It's not that people don't want to be in this country. Not all blacks want to leave this country. I have James Meredith. You can Google him, or go to an encyclopedia in your house, a book in your house that has been written. James Meredith, he integrated Mississippi University, which is nicknamed Ole Miss. And the judge, not judge, but the governor in Alabama, George Wallace, said segregation now, segregation today, something like that, segregation. And I still talk to my cousin, his son, from time to time. You know, Richard Taylor, who recently died, passed away a few months back. She was raped by four white men, and she's my cousin. I have a cousin that has her namesake, you know, and she was raised by four white men, but Oprah honored her at the Golden Globe Awards, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud of Lisa Taylor. You know, she survived it. She moved to Florida, she left Alabama, and she survived that. Now she moved on. Her life, I don't think it would ever, I hope, I pray, I believe that he got better. I didn't know her, but I have seen her, and I didn't know what to say. But yes, Richie Taylor, my granddaddy was a Taylor. All right, so that's his cousin. James Meredith is my grandmother's cousin. Okay, so let's go. I'm proud of that. I'm not ashamed. Okay, they also have, she also says that there are a number of possible reforms, including efforts already made by some states to reduce prison population by shortening sentences for drug-related crimes and training judges on how to avoid implicit bias, the judges to help them avoid implicit bias. And she goes, and it's, and she goes on to say, regardless of how we got the system, we're in, it's imbalance. It's affecting African American families and communities. Yes, there are a lot of mothers and fathers in prison. A whole lot of them. Too many. It's ungodly. Racism is ungodly. It's morally wrong. It is morally a sin to be racist. But when you have a country that's 73% Caucasian. You know, but there are black people doing great things. I would like to add in. I love to look at LinkedIn.com. They post on my page some really great things. I get to see young African American men graduate with PhDs and doctors. I have a brother that I'm so proud of. He was 33 years old when he graduated with his PhD, top of his class. I'm proud of him. I'm going to say his name. Oh, he's boss. I got a sister who used to work for Senator Hillary Clinton, worked for President Obama, and worked for Bush also, and also worked for ex-president Jimmy Carter. So I'm proud of her. I'm proud she's a young black woman. She's there in, I believe, Fulton County, and she is doing well. And guess what? She's only 30. Yes, only third straight-A student when she was in high school. Smart. I have some smart brothers and sisters. Yes, I'm bragging. I'm proud of all of them. Y'all are workaholics to me, though, but nevertheless, proud of all of them. So, basically, it's saying that there's the criminal justice, which a lot of people already know, is extremely racist. They know the United States of America, but the media portrays America when there's racism, such as it goes to the president of the United States, they say that's an oddity. That's crazy. In other words, there are no prejudiced people here, and that's not true. You know, and I wonder about people from other countries where the media is racist. But someone watched BBC in South Africa, Nigeria. They watch BBC, the Christian network. Some people from other countries do, watch BBC. And I'm thinking to myself, ooh, wait a minute, this is an unfair portrayal. You're enticing them to come over here, telling them this is, you're still telling them this is the land of Nipah Hunt, the media, that racism, dislike, the killings that went public. Which I already knew were going on because I've had a couple of hangings in my family. But one of them was with a black woman, you know, so. And I have interracial marriages in my family with Mexicans and whites. I choose not to. But, you know, I don't judge my family. I don't condemn them for who they love. I wouldn't want them to condemn me for who I love. So, but what I'm saying is, I don't consider myself a racist because I have interracial marriages in my family. But it's something I don't choose for myself. It's something I do not want. But, like I said, two hangings. So, they were always killing lynchings from a tree. They've always kill black people, black men, black women. There's always, to me, been race. You know, they talk about the race and the privilege. But that's always been, even if you were free. If you were a black woman, you were raped, you were killed. Homicide, as Naomi Smith called it, the little 11-year-old. I don't know, that was on my Facebook page. She's Naomi Smith, and I'm proud of her. But that's always been, and for people to say that it's something new. Well, I am in the South. We're at the state line. Alabama, we call it the state line here. But it's called the Florida-Alabama line. And I'm like 35 minutes from Dothan, Alabama. That's where Reverend Al Sharpton was from, where he used to live. He buried his mother. There in Dothan, Alabama, they're doing horrible things to the black youth. They're planting drugs and weapons on them, all in the name of the Confederacy. So that's always been. I mean, in my life, what I see around me, you know, I do some traveling. You can't afford to travel all the time, okay? That's just all it is to it. But that's always been the killing, the rape, the murder, the homicide, the rape. A little girls and women, the kids. I mean, that's always been my life. And some blacks do it. That's always been. I travel. I consider myself broad-minded because I know I have a successful family. I may not be as successful as educated, but they are. And I'm proud of them. They're all younger than me, though. 16 to 17 years older, but you know, they're about 22 years, 6 years younger, I believe it is. No, 25 years, it's 6 years to 25 years for my five other brothers and sisters. My father, he had Indian in it, but I consider myself Black American. That's what I consider myself, and it's kind of an insult. It really is. Not kind of, it's an insult. You ask me, when they used to ask me when I was in high school and in college, what are you? What am I asked? What am I? And I said, I'm a black female. And they said, but what else are you? And I'd say, wait a minute. This is an insult. How dare you ask me that? No one ever should ask a person, what do you mix do? What? That's an insult. When you go home, when you go to church, I mean, you in a loving environment, a lot of times, you know, within the church, and then home. Home is supposed to be a safe place, if at all possible. There is perversion, also an evil. But no one asks you that. And so when you go out into the world, the public, and they ask you that, it's an insult, especially if you've had hangings in your family, you know, at any age. That's an insult.
my grandfather was on the chain gang, so when you ask somebody, what are you? That's an insult for me. Okay, let's go. Now, 1.5 million missing black men. The most penalty with sizable black population, the largest deficit in Ferguson, Missouri. This was written in April 20th of 2015 from the NewYorkTimes.com. New York Times, yeah. And there are almost 100, and according to the New York Times, written in 2015, in New York, almost 120,000 black men between the ages of 25 are missing for everyday lives. Says in Chicago, there are 44,000, 35 are missing in Alabama. Same thing for black women. Black women come up missing. And they're never, you know, but it's scary. I agree with the lady. She has a television show. I cannot think of her name. I cannot think of the lady's name right now, but she's a black. She said to her, the scary thing is that they never found, either dead or alive. And yes, that's scary. But then I put it down to human trafficking. You know? Human trafficking. You know? Human trafficking. Maybe goes into prostitution, not here in America. Okay, all right. And these are figures for non-incarcerated who are 25 to 54. That's what I just read. There are black women in prison thanks to the mandatory minimum sentences, which is unfair. It's aimed mostly at minorities. And the war on drugs has failed here in America. It failed. So my understanding that everywhere they're everywhere, but where there's a large population of black people, like in Ferguson, Missouri, most of the police force is white. That's what I'm seeing, the majority of it is. That's my understanding, that the black people are not necessarily going into police force and they're giving deliberately giving them, singling them out, racial profiling them, like in Ferguson, Missouri. And they're just doing these pretty much, giving people extensive trafficking and anything else they feel like police force. So that's my understanding, that it is police force. That the police force are majority Caucasian, white Americans. That's what I believe. That's what I know, to be honest. Atlanta, I was looking at not just Atlanta, but different parts of Georgia. And what I'm seeing is something the other people may not even see. I see, I don't know how many people know that the police are mostly white. Even where I live at, in the town, in county that I live in, the police force is all white. The chief of police is all white where I live at, and the sheriff's department is all white. They have other blacks in other positions, but I didn't used to. I put it this way, they used to. Not anymore. They used to have blacks in administration or something like that, but not as police officers anymore. But was wanted to, but they're not police officers. So even blacks with supposedly high up positions, they sometimes tie their hands. I don't let them see everything. You get what I'm saying? Not that they're dirty. They just don't let them see everything that goes on. So, and they do it underhanded things. Yeah. So. But like Reverend Jesse Jackson had on his website, there could be a Ferguson, Missouri near you. Is there a Ferguson, Missouri near you? I'm definitely living in a Ferguson, Missouri. I'm living in a Ferguson, Missouri. I pray to God no time soon there'll be another Trayvon Martin in Florida, if I'm still in Florida. Still Florida, even though I'm not that far from Alabama. It says, places with the lowest rates of imprisonment suffer. The city has the lowest percentage of Lawrence Center, this is Ferguson, Missouri, Shaker Heights, Ohio, Howard Springs, Virginia, Westmont, California, Farmington Hills, Michigan, Union City, Georgia, which is 39.1%, Euclid, Ohio, 39.3%, Oakland Park, Michigan, 39.3%, East Chicago, Indiana, 39.4%, and Steel Heights will have 39.6%. These are the lowest. And the places with the most missing men is New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, Memphis, Baltimore, Houston, Charlotte, North Carolina, Milwaukee, and Texas, and Dallas. And I received this information from www.newyorktimes.com, published April 20th, 2015. This is where I received my information from, and from some actually books, encyclopedia books, Webster Dictionary, things like that. I don't believe every single thing on the internet, so I have to do some research to make sure. And another thing, America is 5%. Of the world population, there are about 326 million people here in the United States of America. 336 million people here in the United States of America. So Africa has close to 2 billion people or close to it. They even have 2 billion close to that amount of people in it. And so does a lot of, so does I think China. So if America makes up 5% of the world population, but they make up 65% of the prison population. So, and most of America is black, brown. So that tells you something right there. All right, everyone, I'm going to end the show. Everyone have a great day. Happy late Mother's Day this Tuesday, May 14th, 2018, because on a Monday, Mother's Day was Sunday.